Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. Round one of the basketball playoffs is here, and regardless of whether or not you're taking Boston, Miami, Milwaukee, or Minnesota to win the championship, BetOnline has you covered with all the odds, props, promos, and parlays you need for the entire two-month basketball playoffs. Use our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, with your first deposit, with the link in the description to this episode, and you can pick up a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night, however and whenever you may be listening, thank you for stopping into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast, live on the Bleav Podcast Network, except it isn't live because it is, as always, a podcast, and podcasts aren't live. It's the whole purpose of podcasts. You get to listen however and whenever you so choose. We appreciate you stopping in however and whenever it is that you may be choosing. We are sitting down and recording at the back half of round one of the 2024 NFL Draft. That's right, it's the fifth annual Take It Easy podcast NFL Draft post-game show. We have got so much to get to today. Michael Penix got drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. Michael Penix got picked 8th overall by the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons did not tell their recently signed $100 million quarterback, Kirk Cousins, that they were drafting Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th pick in the NFL draft. We have Michael Penix Jr., who is the exact same age as Trey Lance, drafted with the 8th overall pick in the NFL draft by a team that already gave a quarterback one of the richest contracts in the NFL. So many interesting storylines to get to, all of them equally important. We're going to break them all down here on the show. But we're going to start, of course, with the most important story of the entire NFL draft, which is the breaking news that Chop Robinson, edge rusher from Penn State, just got selected with the 21st overall pick in the draft by the Miami Dolphins. And that is a very smart pick by the Miami Dolphins. Why? Because every single one of their pass rushers blew out their knee in the final month and a half of this last NFL season. And then Van Ginkel, the only survivor at the end of that whole run, went and signed with the Minnesota Vikings. So signing Chop Robinson, drafting Chop Robinson makes all the sense in the world, even though they gave up a premium draft pick to acquire Bradley Chubb less than 2 years ago. Bradley Chubb's not going to be back maybe all next season. So let's go Chop Robinson. That was probably the most important story of the NFL draft. What else do we want to talk about here? What else was interesting? Oh, I can think of something. Let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons, huh? Harry Douglas, Arthur Blank, Dante Fowler, Michael Vick, Devin Hester, Hayden Hurst, and Caleb McGarry. Tack McKinley, Deion Sanders, Michael Turner, Grady Jarrett, Austin Hooper, Tevin Coleman, Tony Gonzalez. Warwick Dunn, Brent Grimes, Kyle Pitts, Desher Funt, Leftwich, Julio, mascot has creepy eyes, Darren Hall and KZ, Gambling Calvin Ridley, AJ Terrell, Duron Harmon, Russell Gage, Vic Beasley. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We're always flying and we keep on trying. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We keep blowing leads, but we try to fight it. Steven, Jackson, Casey, Hayward, Dan, Quinn, and Shanahan, Jake, Matthews, Drake, London, Fabian, Moreau, Mike, Davis, Ito, Smith, Devonta, Freeman's Pro Bowl, Jackies, Rogers, Asante, Samuel, Young, Way, Dean, Pease, Mike Smith had a winning team, Henry, Crockett, Petrino, Mariota, Netflix, Deion Jones, Tajay, Sharp, Cordero, Liz, a running back, Chris Lindstrom, D'Angelo Hall, some dude named Zacchaeus, we're the Atlanta Falcons. We're always flying and we keep on trying. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We keep blowing leads, but we try to fight it. Dirty Bird, bring it back. Roddy White and Alex Mack. Alford, Luke McCown, Super Bowl prostitutes. Justin Hardy, Matt Schaub, Atlanta Braves baseball beat with an onside kick. Dirt Cutter's an idiot. Corey Peters, Richie Grant, Jesse Bates' contract, Bijan Mustard, Super Bowl's a no-go, Matty Ice's MVP, Mike Pinnell, Matt Hennessy, Dwight Freeney, Toy Lolo, don't score that ball, Todd Gurley, we're the Atlanta Falcons, we're always flying and we keep on trying, we're the Atlanta Falcons, we keep blowing leads but we try to fight it. All right, Atlanta Falcons, let's add a whole new verse to our wonderful We Didn't Start the Fire Falcons song that began 3 years ago. The fire didn't start 3 years ago when we made the first iteration of this song. Since then, we had to make a whole new version of the song after all the shit that went down last year with the Falcons. And now we might have to make another version of the song because the fire does not stop. It is always burning. As long as the world is turning, the Atlanta Falcons are out here on their bullshit. So, with the Falcons, I want to start with this story. In 2012, the Kansas City Chiefs had just fired Romeo Crennel. They were at the top of the draft. They were looking to hire a head coach. And this was the year that Andy Reid had been fired, but it was kind of a mutually, we both kind of need to go in our own way with the Philadelphia Eagles. Kansas City wanted to hire Andy Reid. Andy Reid did not want to work with Scott Pioli, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what the Kansas City Chiefs did? They fired Scott Pioli and hired Andy Reid. And then hired John Dorsey. John Dorsey gets fired. He gets replaced by Brett Veach. Brett Veach is going to the Hall of Fame as a general manager. I say all of that to say, the Falcons could have had Bill Belichick as head coach of their football team. Bill Belichick was interested. He did multiple interviews with the Falcons. The Falcons didn't want to turn over control of personnel to Bill Belichick, which would have required them to fire general manager Terry Fontenot. Instead, they hired Raheem Morris, kept Terry Fontenot, and now they go from there. Bill Belichick, while doing the Pat McAfee Show's live draft show, gets to watch as the Falcons allocate a premium draft pick to a quarterback who is in fact the same exact age as Trey Lance. And do so less than 6 weeks after signing Kirk Cousins to a $100 million contract. And we've had cases like this where a team signs a free agent quarterback and then drafts a quarterback at the top of the draft. And the reason that ends up being the case is that unlike every other major American professional sport, the NFL holds free agency ahead of the draft. Basketball, hockey, soccer, free agency comes after the draft. WNBA is different too, but that's just because the WNBA's calendar is misaligned a little bit. But baseball holds their draft in the summer. baseball and hockey do draft before free agency. Football says we're going to do free agency before the draft, and that leads to some teams having to hedge based on whether or not they can control what pick they get. And if you're at the top of the draft, you don't have to hedge for this. Case in point, Washington signed Marcus Mariota and traded Sam Howell. Some people thought they were going to keep Sam Howell because him and Drake May were buddies, and it would make perfect sense if you had a quarterback room of two buddies coming together, and Washington said, haha, watch this, we're going to take the lesser prospect at number two, which I'm sure is going to work out great for Washington given how great Dan Quinn is with offense. I'm sure taking a lesser quarterback to pair alongside Chex Notes, Cliff Kingsbury, and Dan Quinn is going to work out tremendously for Washington, a historically well-known franchise for treating their quarterbacks well and developing quarterback prospects. Hell, look what they did with Kirk Cousins. He's so great, he got $100 million to be the Atlanta Falcons' backup quarterback. So if you're at the top of the draft, you know, Chicago, they got rid of Justin Fields for basically nothing. Washington, they got rid of Sam Howell for basically nothing and signed Mariota. New England got rid of Mac Jones for nothing and signed Jacoby Brissett. Like, they knew where they were locked in, and they didn't have to make that move in free agency. For a team like the 2021 Chicago Bears, if you remember correctly, the 2021 Chicago Bears signed Andy Dalton to a two-year contract, and then traded up in the 2021 draft to select Justin Fields. And Andy Dalton never got to a real crack at the starting job, even though Andy Dalton got 5 weeks as the starter under Nagy. Ownership forced them to put Justin Fields in, and Nagy got fired at the end of the season, saying, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down running the ball 4 yards at a time, all the way until I'm fired and go to be the quarterback's coach in Kansas City. But if you remember, they signed Andy Dalton not knowing whether they were going to get the quarterback they wanted in the draft. And Andy Dalton would have been a fine stopgap option, but it was kind of a hedge in case they didn't get the franchise quarterback they wanted. 2 years later, the Carolina Panthers, 9 pick in the draft, wanted to go up and get a quarterback, weren't sure at the time whether they were going to be able to get the quarterback they wanted. So they went out in free agency and they signed Andy Dalton to a 2-year contract. And then they were able to trade up to the number one pick and draft Bryce Young. And since then, everything has gone perfectly for the Carolina Panthers. How do I know this? I just do, and you shouldn't fact check me on this. It was an excellent decision by Carolina to trade up to the number one overall pick in the 2023 draft to select Bryce Young and sign Andy Dalton, originally as his starter, but what ultimately became his backup. Think about what the Colts did. The Colts last year signed Gardner Minshew to a 2-year contract, and then brought in Anthony Richardson with the 4th pick in the draft. Richardson got the starting job, tore his shoulder, Gardner Minshew comes in and plays quarterback. The team wins about half their games during the season, in spite of Gardner Minshew being their starting quarterback. We've seen cases like that before where you sign a quarterback in free agency and then draft a quarterback immediately right after. That happens. It's the NFL. You kind of have to hedge against these things. I don't know if we've ever seen a team pay over $100 million guaranteed on a 4-year contract for a quarterback and then draft his replacement in the top 10 immediately after that fact. And I'm looking up the contract on Kirk Cousins before, which, by the way, when we talked about Kirk Cousins last time, we acknowledged this could be a 4-year contract that is actually a 2-year contract, but we didn't have the details. It was an episode called Kirk Cousins, Mike Evans, and the Value of Very Good in the Modern NFL, which was basically saying, hey, you know what? Atlanta and Tampa Bay, it's cool that you guys want to try and get to the middle of the pack, win a playoff game, and see what you can do. And yes, we are correct now that we have the details. Kirk Cousins' guarantees get paid out predominantly in the first 2 years of that contract. The guarantees are paid out all but $25 million in the first 2 years. So that's about 30% of your guarantees come in on the last 2 years of the contract. So they only have a $25 million dead cap hit after 2 years. In the meantime, hey man, Michael Penix is going to be the backup quarterback in Atlanta for two full seasons, maybe a season and a half, but there's also very little guarantee that Terry Fontenot, the general manager, is going to be the general manager when Michael Penix eventually does see the field. Because remember when the Chicago Bears traded for Justin Fields in 2021, which I'd argue is the most surprising quarterback pick that has been made since then, was Penix on Thursday night. Because you could go back to 22. Like, Pickett in the first round was surprising, but it wasn't the most shocking thing in the world. Last year, you could say Bryce Young trading up to number one was shocking, but it was totally defensible, and maybe because it happened 4 weeks before the draft, we were all kind of mentally prepared for it to happen and normalized it a little bit. It was a gigantic trade, but I don't think it was as shocking as Bears getting Justin Fields or Falcons using the number 8 pick to draft Michael Penix. Just an absolute stunning decision on all accounts. But I say that to say the most shocking draft pick that you've seen by any team at the top of the draft also comes along with the Atlanta Falcons not guaranteeing their general manager will be there to see through the process, because he ain't got the job security like that to draft a quarterback and know that he'll be able to see through the successes. How do we know this? Because they were thinking about putting Bill Belichick in place over you when they fired Arthur Smith. The other person that I feel incredibly bad for, and by bad, I mean I'm laughing internally very hard, but also recognize that this man is a person and has human feelings. Damn, they must really fucking hate Desmond Ridder. Hot damn, Fontenot. Fontenot was not allowed to pick his quarterback, clearly, because Arthur Smith was telling him, hey, I don't want Justin Fields. I don't want Malik Willis, which, you know, that one kind of turned out okay. I don't want Anthony Richardson. I want Desmond Ridder as my quarterback. Or Marcus Mariota. My goal of reassembling the 2019 Tennessee Titans by drafting Kyle Pitts and drafting Drake London and drafting Bijan Robinson, which were Fontenot's picks, and Arthur Smith didn't want those picks because he would have rather Cordarrelle Patterson and some defense and maybe some beefy offensive linemen. Fontenot got Arthur Smith up out of there. He's completing his vision for what he had for the team 4 years ago when he got hired. Because think about it. They've now had four picks in the top 10 in four consecutive drafts. Okay, they had the number 4 pick in 2021. They had the number 9 pick in 2022. And they had the number 8 pick in 2023. And they had the number 8 pick in 2024. Which, by the way, the man who inherited the number 4 pick and turned it into 9, 8, and 9 with 3, 7, and 10 seasons, that man thought he had the job security to draft a quarterback right after spending $100 million on a quarterback. The Atlanta Falcons had a vision from the, or at least Terry Fontenot, the general manager, had a vision from the beginning. We're going to draft offense every single time. We're going to go playmaking tight end, number one receiver, running back who is a generational prospect, quarterback. Maybe that's a vision. Maybe he just picked a bunch of super spicy players to fill skill position pieces. But he used his top picks to take quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. And the coach he got was a shitty one. The quarterback that was playing with the other pieces before was not a NFL quarterback. Barely an NFL backup quarterback, but not a starting caliber NFL quarterback. And now they pick a quarterback after they had already signed a quarterback, and it's just looking up, it's like, how many chefs you got cooking in the kitchen right now? And people will say, like, oh, Belichick's bad at personnel, so they shouldn't have given him the power of personnel. Yeah, maybe not, but I don't think Bill Belichick would have taken two quarterbacks that fast. So, like, you could have aligned your organization by just giving the unilateral power to one person. And I'm not saying giving unilateral power to one person is a great example, i.e., look to the example of New England Patriots 2020 through 2023. It's not a perfect example. That person's going to be wrong. However, you know who else could be wrong? The guy who just took Michael Penix at number 8. A quarterback who, by the way, wasn't even a first-round grade. Wasn't even a first-round quarterback. Like, reached on a quarterback at number 8. That's before we even get to the Penix part of it. Like, abjectly reached on a quarterback. Our guy Blake Jude had him as a second-round grade. Like, abjectly reached on a quarterback at number 8. Who's going to be a backup for at least a year and a half. And that's the minimum year and a half. And maybe, you know, we don't know what Kirk Cousins' Achilles recovery schedule looks like or whatever. But at the bare minimum, year and a half before that dude can actually take over that team. Because they're not about to absorb that cap hit that quick. It's one of the funniest things that I've seen happen. And I cannot talk enough about just how funny that decision was for the Falcons to take Michael Penix. So much so that we spent 20 minutes of this damn draft reaction show. And granted, we knocked out picks 1, 2, and 3 because, gotta be honest, picks 1, 2, and 3 aren't interesting. Caleb Williams, hey, good luck, man. We'll reevaluate in November on you. Jaden Daniels, that one's not going to work. And Drake May, at least it wasn't JJ McCarthy. Because I said this with our guy Walter on the Revenge of the Birds. Like, if J.J. McCarthy, a quarterback, a white Michigan quarterback labeled as unathletic who won a bunch of games despite the fact that he wasn't the main reason for his team winning a bunch of games, had been picked by the New England Patriots, man, that would have done some damage to that poor man's mental health. Because remember, J.J. McCarthy is the one who has had mental health issues in the past. He found meditation as a way to help calm him. He was Googling how to fix depression when he was in high school. Man, just the constant comparisons to Tom Brady would have just done absolute damage to that man's brain and mental well-being. So I'm glad that J.J. McCarthy gets to go to the Vikings. I wouldn't wish the Vikings on many people, but Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and all of them. Look, the Vikings have just been replacing receivers for years and keeping the 7-10 machine, the 8-9, the 9-8 machine going. Replace Kirk Cousins with J.J. McCarthy and see what happens. Hell, the Falcons are replacing Michael Penix with Kirk Cousins, replacing Kirk Cousins with Michael Penix. So just let's try this experiment out of replace Kirk Cousins and see what the results are. You've interchanged Stephon Diggs for Justin Jefferson. You interchanged Adam Thielen for Jordan Addison. Let's see if we can just interchange the quarterback here and continue our 8-9 train rolling on down the street in Minnesota. Especially because I saw someone bring up the fact that Minnesota, in order to get J.J. McCarthy and I think it was Jared Verse, I believe was who they picked with their second trade-up. In order to get Jared Verse and J.J. McCarthy, they had to give up 2 first-round picks, 2 seconds, a third, a fourth, and a fifth, and I think they got a later pick back, basically. But they gave up basically an entire draft's worth of value to get J.J. McCarthy and Jared Verse. Like that, if you take picks from various drafts, like imagine an entire draft that is like J.J. McCarthy, Jared Verse, and a 7th-round pick, and a 6th-round pick. Like 2 end-of-the-draft picks, J.J. McCarthy and Jared Verse. How do you feel about that draft? I don't know. We'll see. But that's why I don't do deep intellectual NFL draft stuff. I like doing NFL draft stuff where we can spend 20 minutes laughing at the Atlanta Falcons for doing that shit. Where they drafted Michael Penix. And I'm telling you, we're going to have to update the song. We updated the song last year to add Bijan Mustard and Mariota Netflix and all sorts of new wacky Falcons histories. We might have to update it again for Michael Penix and Kirk Cousins and Bill Belichick and just the ridiculously stupid saga that has gone on in Atlanta over the last 4 months. Harry Douglas, Arthur Blank, Dante Fowler, Michael Vick, Devin Hester, Hayden Hurst, and Caleb McGarry. Tack McKinley, Deion Sanders, Michael Turner, Grady Jarrett, Austin Hooper, Tevin Coleman, Tony Gonzalez. Warwick Dunn, Brent Grimes, Kyle Pitts, Des Chauffant, Left Witch, Julio, Mascot Has Creepy Eyes, Darren Holland, KZ, Gambling Calvin Ridley, AJ Terrell, Duron Harmon, Russell Gage, Vic Beasley. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We're always flying and we keep on trying. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We keep blowing leads, but we try to fight it. Steven Jackson, Casey Hayward, Dan Quinn and Shanahan, Jake Matthews, Drake London, Fabian Moreau, Mike Davis, Ito Smith, Devonta Freeman's Pro Bowl, Jackies Rogers, Asante Samuel, Young Way, Dean Pease, Mike Smith had a winning team, Henry Crockett, Petrino, Mariota, Netflix, Deion Jones, Tajay Sharp, Cordero is a running back, Chris Lindstrom, D'Angelo Hall, some dude named Zacchaeus. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We're always flying and we keep on trying. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We keep blowing leads, but we try to fight it. Dirty Bird, bring it back. Roddy White and Alex Mack. Alford, Luke McCown, Super Bowl prostitutes. Justin Hardy, Matt Schaub, Atlanta Braves baseball beat with an onside kick. Dirt Cutter's an idiot. Corey Peters, Richie Grant, Jesse Bates' contract, Bijan Mustard, Super Bowl's a no-go, Matty Ice's MVP, Mike Pinnell, Matt Hennessy, Dwight Freeney, Toy Lolo, don't score that ball, Todd Gurley. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We're always flying and we keep on trying. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We keep blowing leads, but we try to fight it. All right, let's do some other NFL draft stuff. One of my favorite moments in the history of our NFL draft reaction shows was when our friend Blake Jude came on the show. We did this whole in-depth NFL draft breakdown in 2022 of all these picks and trades and everything that was happening. And then we completely forgot about the number one pick. And the number one pick was Trayvon Walker to the Jaguars. And like an hour and 15 minutes into the podcast that we were doing, I was like, oh yeah, so with the number one pick, the Jaguars made the wrong pick, right? And Blake was like, yeah. And then we both started laughing, and then that was the only analysis that we gave. That feels like everyone talking about Washington right now. It's like, number two pick in the draft, Washington, Jaden Daniels. Did Washington make the wrong pick? Yeah, probably, yeah. They probably fucked up. It's pretty much everyone's analysis on Jaden Daniels. You know, we'll see what happens. Maybe it works out for him. Arizona Cardinals, good on you. Took Marvin Harrison Jr. That was absolutely the right thing to do. Thank you for not messing that up. Because again, I say this all the time with teams at the top of drafts. If you are going through a rebuild, I mean, there's some organizations that are in a perpetual state of rebuild, like Washington is just a perpetual cycle of we're really bad, then we're really mid, then we're back to being really bad, and oh, by the way, Taylor Heinicke almost won a playoff game one time. Awesome. When you draft that high in the NFL draft, this is the highest pick you plan to have in your rebuild. And for the Arizona Cardinals, this was very much the case. Yes, they had the number three pick in last year's draft, but they were so far away from contending that they were looking up and they were like, this is not aligning with our timeline. We're going to go down to 12 and we're going to jump back up to six and give up two first round picks for Paris Johnson Jr., which, hey, the bag's still out on that one, but we'll see. But this pick, I would have been so upset if the Cardinals had traded down, because at a certain point, you got to get a generational star at the top of the draft. That's the whole purpose of these rebuild things. The purpose of losing is not to get pick 36 in the second round. The purpose of losing is not to get pick 73 at the top of the third round. What you are getting out of the rebuild is one, maybe two premium top of the line picks. And what Arizona got is a premium top of the line pick, in which they took the guy who is going to decide whether Monty Austin Ford has a job 2 years from now. Because the Cardinals are not planning to have a draft pick higher than this year's draft pick at number four, and I'm glad they took Marvin Harrison Jr., because Blake Jude told us Marvin Harrison Jr. is the number one overall prospect in the draft. That's how you win drafts, is by getting blue chip top of the line corner prospects at premium positions. And they could have had Will Anderson last year, and maybe Will Anderson and Marvin Harrison Jr. together makes or breaks a Cardinals run. But they also have picked 27, which hasn't happened by the time we're recording this yet. But, you know, they'll get some value for trading down last year and not picking Will Anderson Jr. It doesn't preclude them from being good or bad at the end of the rebuild. They just needed some more players to hit along with a top of the line player like what they got. So, hey, we'll see what happens, man. We'll see what happens for pick 27. We might get that live on the air right now, because right now we just had Terrion Arnold get picked by the Lions at 24 after the Cowboys traded down with Detroit. Yeah, okay, I'm looking at the trade right now. So Lions moved up five spots. They gave up their third round pick this year. Well, they gave up someone's third round pick this year. Maybe that's the Rams' third rounder or something. But they gave up a third round pick this year to move up five spots and take Terrion Arnold, which makes all the sense in the world, because I made this joke all during the playoffs last year. Like, Detroit had one competent cornerback. And by the way, there's a new layer to this joke. The Detroit Lions, the team that made it to the NFC Championship game, made it to said NFC Championship game for the second time since 1963. The Detroit Lions made the NFC Championship game for the second time since the Bay of Pigs invasion. The Detroit Lions made it to said NFC Championship game with a single competent NFL cornerback. Not even saying a good one, even a great one. A single competent NFL cornerback. And that NFL cornerback is now on the run from the police. Cam Sutton went on the run from the police for a week at a time over the offseason. That was the only competent cornerback the Lions had in their system. So the fact that they traded a third round pick to move up five picks and get what was, according to Blake Jude originally, the number one cornerback prospect in the entire draft, good choice, because they only had one competent corner before. Maybe they've got one very good corner now. Maybe one very good corner will be good enough to stave off the J.J. McCarthy-led Minnesota Vikings. And the Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, Chicago Bears, which, by the way, check and check, we had both of those picks being set as of a month and a half ago, and Roma Dunze and Caleb Williams get to come together in Chicago for a team that I'm sure will win a lot of games next year, right? Right? Chicago always has great drafts, and after great drafts wins a lot of games, am I right? Especially with a general manager that has a history of hitting on some really great trades and failing on some really bad ones. So we'll see what happens for Chicago. I end a lot of my analysis with, hey, we'll see what happens, because that's honestly just my entire NFL draft strategy for the last 3 years. After the year that everyone tried to convince me Mac Jones was better than Justin Fields, I was just like, eh, we'll see what happens. Draft stuff is not as... I'm not sitting down at the table and scouting all of these prospects because, we'll see what happens. Most of these teams end up in bad fits and it doesn't matter anyways. Looking at you, New York Jets, drafting Olufoshanu. I'm old enough to remember Mekhi Becton. I'm old enough to remember when you drafted Mekhi Becton at the top of the draft. I thought it was a great pick. Mekhi Becton's gone. Where are you 4 years later? Drafting another right tackle. So congratulations, New York Jets. Looking at you for not getting this one right. But who knows? We'll see what happens. See what I did there? The joke that I finish every analysis with. You know, we'll see what happens. One other piece of draft news that I thought was interesting. Actually, let me just make this joke first. Always fun when NFL teams and their fans, they show their reactions live at the draft, and it's always fun when someone takes an offensive lineman because their fan base has to, like, fake get excited about drafting an offensive lineman. Chargers, this happens a lot. The Chargers take a lot of first-round offensive linemen, so their fans... There's 17 fans that show up at the draft have to, like, fake enthusiasm for, like, yeah, we got a solid left tackle. Well, actually, this year, we got a solid right tackle. It alternates every other year. 2 years ago, it was, yeah, we got a solid left tackle, Chargers. This year, it's, yeah, we got a solid right tackle, Chargers. Titans, same thing with you. Two years in a row, yeah, we got an offensive lineman. Let's fake our enthusiasm and excitement about offensive linemen. I'm watching the rest of the draft live here, and the Packers just took Jordan Morgan, offensive lineman from Arizona, with their first-round pick at 25. And I'm sure a whole lot of Packer fans who are thinking about wide receivers and edge rushers and maybe a cornerback are looking up right now and faking enthusiasm about drafting an offensive lineman. It's always fun for watching fan bases like fake enthusiasm for like, yeah, we just nailed an offensive lineman prospect. Always one of the funniest reaction shots you get at the draft, along with the annual Giants fans reacting to bad draft picks, which, by the way, hasn't happened a lot in recent years. The Giants, ever since they got Gettleman up out there, Joe Schoen, the new general manager there, Joe Schoen is not giving them the crowd reactions of bad picks because the Giants have quietly actually been stable with their draft picks the last few years. They took Kayvon Thibodeau 5th overall. They took Evan Neal 7th overall. Both excellent blue chip prospects. Last year, I don't remember who they took. It was in the dude from Maryland, Deontay Banks. They took Deontay Banks in the first round last year. This year they took Malik Nabers. They were scaring us for a second, tricking us into thinking they were going to take J.J. McCarthy. They were tricking us into thinking they were going to take J.J. McCarthy. But no dice. No dice. They weren't gonna reach on a quarterback unless that quarterback was Drake May. No dice. They were trying to trick us into thinking they were going to get J.J. McCarthy. But no. They stopped just short of that chaos. But yeah, Giants actually made good picks last 3 years. Great job. Joe Schoen comes in and we don't get the Gettleman jokes anymore or the Giant. We don't. Now that Giant fans reacting to bad draft picks isn't a thing every year anymore, now we just have like normal draft reactions to Giants picks. And the funniest thing to replace it is just teams getting overly enthusiastic about offensive linemen. Always funny when that happens. So Chargers, Titans, and Packers, you guys are the winners for let's get overly enthusiastic about offensive linemen. I guess the Steelers, too, also took an offensive lineman, so we'll see how excited that gets. Also, you know who's quietly entering the mix there? The Saints. The Saints took Cesar Ruiz. They took, I forgot the name of the center, who they took a couple years ago. Like, 3 of the last 4 Saint first-round picks have been interior offensive linemen, and I just think that's really funny that Saints fans every year, when they do actually keep their first-round picks, which isn't all that often, I think they gave up... They gave up Jalen Carter last year. That's right. They gave up Jalen Carter for an offensive lineman because they wanted 2 first round picks in the same year. And they gave up a first rounder for a pick that eventually became Jalen Carter. The Saints have taken so many interior offensive linemen, and their fan base has to continually get excited about drafting interior offensive linemen. That's one that I always think is funny too. Because if you think like people are can like trick themselves into like tackle is the most important position, a left tackle is the anchor to protecting your quarterback's blind side, like try analyzing a right guard that gets taken in the first round. Like no one knows what to do with that shit. Last piece of like meaningful draft information, because we've covered our bases with most of this stuff already. Brock Bowers. Brock Bowers is now a Las Vegas Raider. Blue chipper that fell to 13. The Raiders took him. I think that's a great pick by the Raiders. However, every piece of draft analysis by the Raiders comes with this clause on the Raiders, which is true and will remain true for the next 5 years. We're coming up on the 5-year anniversary of the Take It Easy podcast. I promise you this bit of analysis will be true for the next 5 years. The Raiders currently are so far behind the 8-ball of the Kansas City Chiefs that I hypothesize there is literally nothing the Raiders can do for the next 5 years that will make them able to win the AFC West. Like, they could have traded for Lamar Jackson last year. They could have drafted Kyle Hamilton. Brock Bowers could be catching passes from Lamar Jackson and not Aiden O'Connell. Because, again, Aiden O'Connell, quarterback, Las Vegas Raiders. I think they also have Gardner Minshew, but whatever. I don't think there's anything the Raiders could do that would make them a competitive football team at the top of the AFC for the next 5 years. So by the time Brock Bowers' contract expires, maybe the Raiders will have had enough stability to put themselves in a position to succeed, or the more likely outcome, Brock Bowers is going to be the player who, I know that stat was going around about receivers who get a second contract, or like position groups of first round picks that get a second contract, and receiver was the lowest percentage at 27%. Maybe Brock Bowers is going to be the one contributing to that 27% this time around, because Marvin Harrison Jr., that dude is like the next Julio Jones or AJ Green, you know, like a perennial six-time Pro Bowler walking. Malik Nabers, he's got Daniel Jones throwing passes at him, but I still feel like he's the best receiver the Giants have had since Odell Beckham, which is a shocking 6 years ago now. My math is correct. 6 years ago was when Odell Beckham was a New York Giant. This is the best receiver they've had walking in the door since Odell Beckham. And then Roma Dunze, I mean, he's the number three with the Chicago Bears, but damn if Roma Dunze ain't going to be a pretty, you know, they will. Keenan Allen will not be getting a second contract with the Bears, so I think they hope that Roma Dunze will get a second contract with the Chicago Bears. But maybe Brock Bowers is the one where we look up in 4 years and it's like, he had a really good career with the Raiders, but the Raiders just never gave him a quarterback and the organization was incredibly unstable. So again, best of luck, Brock Bowers. I think that was maybe the best pick in the draft. You got a blue chip prospect in the middle of the first round, which means you don't have to tank in order to get a top draft pick in the coming years. The downside, though, is for the Raiders that they are, in fact, the Raiders, and the Raiders may not be able to do anything that will... By our Raider fallacy, the Raiders are so far behind the eight ball that it does not matter that they selected Brock Bowers, because they still will not be able to do anything that makes them a competitive football team. But they did take Brock Bowers, and Brock Bowers is a stud, probably one of the 5, 6, 7 best prospects in this entire draft class, and they got him at 13. Blue chipper falling to 13 is always the best indication of a team that has a chance of turning their fortunes around for a consistent 2 to 3 year period. Problem is, it's the Raiders, and what I just said 5 seconds ago contradicts the Raiders' fallacy that they are so far behind the eight ball to the Kansas City Chiefs that it would take an entire organizational overhaul and hitting on every first round pick the way that they hit on Brock Bowers in order for them to even attempt to catch Kansas City anytime in the next 5 years. But I commend them for their best efforts in trying to get there, because the Brock Bowers pick is going to go a long way in trying to disprove my prognostication. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping in here to our NFL Draft live show here on the Take It Easy podcast. We have so much fun content coming at you in the week and beyond. I plan to have our friend Blake Jude join us for some NFL draft breakdown. I am very, very excited for all of the NBA playoff coverage we are about to engage in. It should be very fun. We appreciate you stopping in, and we will talk to you again next week. In the meantime, take it easy. Harry Douglas, Arthur Blank, Dante Fowler, Michael Vick, Devin Hester, Hayden Hurst, and Caleb McGarry. Tack McKinley, Deion Sanders, Michael Turner, Grady Jarrett, Austin Hooper, Tevin Coleman, Tony Gonzalez. Warwick Dunn, Brent Grimes, Kyle Pitts, Des Chaffont, Left Witch, Julio, Mascot Has Creepy Eyes, Darren Hall and Casey, Gambling Calvin Ridley, AJ Terrell, Duron Harmon, Russell Gage, Vic Beasley. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We're always flying and we keep on trying. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We keep blowing leads, but we try to fight it. Steven Jackson, Casey Hayward, Dan Quinn and Shanahan, Jake Matthews, Drake London, Fabian Moreau, Mike Davis, Ito Smith, Devonta Freeman's Pro Bowl, Jacques Rogers, Asante Samuel, Young Way, Dean Pease, Mike Smith had a winning team. Henry Crockett, Petrino, Mariota, Netflix, Deion Jones, Tajay Sharpe, Cordero Lizzo, running back, Chris Lindstrom, D'Angelo Hall, some dude named Zacchaeus. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We're always flying and we keep on trying. We're the Atlanta Falcons. We keep blowing leads, but we try to fight it. Dirty Bird, bring it back. Roddy White and Alex Mack. Alford, Luke McCown, Super Bowl prostitutes. Justin Hardy, Matt Schaub, Atlanta Braves baseball beat with an onside kick. Dirk Cutter's an idiot. Corey Peters, Richie Grant, Jesse Bates' contract, Bijan Mustard, Super Bowl's a no-go, Matty Ice's MVP, Mike Pinnell, Matt Hennessy, Dwight Freeney, Toy Lolo, don't score that ball, Todd Gurley. We're the Atlanta Falcons, we're always flying and we keep on trying. We're the Atlanta Falcons, we keep blowing leads, but we try to fight it.